Al-Bayan Radio presents Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi presented by Nidal Ayyubi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Salat wa Salamu ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to our series Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi Rahimuhullah. And today we have reached Hadith 22.
الحديث الثاني والعشرون عن أبي عبد الله جابر بن عبد الله الأنصاري رضي الله عنهما أن رجلا سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أرأيت إذا صليت المكتوبات وصمت رمضان وأحللت الحلال وحرمت الحرام ولم أزد على ذلك شيئا أأدخل الجنة؟ قال نعم. رواه مسلم.
On the authority of Abu Abdullah, Jabir ibn Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with both of them, who said, A man asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Tell me, if I were to perform the obligatory prayers, fast Ramadan, treat the lawful as permissible, and treat the forbidden as prohibited, and I do not add anything to that, would I enter paradise? He, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, answered, Yes. Reported by Muslim. Imam al-Nawawi, in this hadith, he actually added some commentary. He said, the meaning of treat the forbidden as prohibited is to stay away from it. And the meaning of treat the lawful as permissible is to perform them believing that they are permissible. Now the narrator of this hadith is Abu Abdullah Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma. Now Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu was from the Khazraj tribe from Medina, and he was one of the Ansar of Medina who welcomed the immigrants from Mecca. Jabir's father was also a companion. His father witnessed the oath of allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and died as a shaheed during the Battle of Uhud. Jabir's mother was also a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now Jabir himself radiyallahu anhu also witnessed Bay'atul Aqaba al-Thaniya. He witnessed the second oath of allegiance at Al-Aqaba with his father radiyallahu anhu, although he was quite young at the time. Now it's mentioned that his father did not allow him to participate in the Battle of Badr because he was quite young, and also Uhud for the same reason. Now it's mentioned that he was actually present at the Battle of Badr, but did not take part in the fighting. After the Battle of Uhud, he fought in all the battles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now he radiallahu anhu lived for some time in the Sham, Greater Syria, and also Egypt. However, he later returned to Medina and lived there until his death, radiallahu anhu. Jabir was one of the companions who lived for quite some time after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. Therefore, he was a very important source of information concerning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the later generations. It's mentioned that later in his life, he lost his eyesight. He died in Medina in the year 94 after Hijrah, while some reports state that he died in the year 73 after Hijrah. And also some reports state that he was the last companion to die in Medina. Wallahu a'lam. Now he has narrated many, many hadith. Some put the number at 1,540. 58 hadith can be found in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. Al-Bukhari also has an additional 28 hadith from Jabir, while Muslim recorded an additional 126 hadith, radiyallahu anhu. Now this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, is a great hadith. And one very important aspect of this hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is answering a question whether some deed will lead a person to paradise. This in itself gives this hadith great weight. Furthermore, the question encompasses virtually all of Islam, since the questioner stated the proper attitude toward the permissible and the forbidden. Now the first part of the hadith.
رَأَيْتَ إِذَا صَلَّيْتُ الْمَكْتُوبَاتِ وَصُمْتُ رَمَضَانِ
Tell me, if I were to perform the obligatory prayers, fast Ramadan. So we see here the questioner clearly mentioned the obligatory prayer and fasting Ramadan, which shows how important these two actions were to the believers. Now the questioner may ask, why wasn't zakat or hajj mentioned in this hadith? Now, the reply can be from two angles. Firstly, that these two acts may not have been obligatory at the time that the questioner asked the Prophet ﷺ this question. And also it could have been that these two acts were not relevant to the questioner. In other words, these two acts both require wealth, and the questioner may not have had any wealth. Hence, they were not obligatory upon him. Now, according to some scholars, the questioner who asked this question died at the Battle of Uhud as a shaheed. Therefore, he asked this question before Hajj was made obligatory. Wallahu a'lam. Now, the next part of the hadith.
وَأَحْلَلْتُ الْحَلَالِ وَحَرَّمْتُ الْحَرَامِ.
Treat the lawful as permissible and treat the forbidden as prohibited. Now, Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he mentioned that the meaning of treating the lawful as permissible is to believe that it's permissible, and to treat the forbidden as prohibited is to believe that it is prohibited and to avoid it. He also mentioned another interpretation, and that is regarding to treat the lawful as permissible, to perform it. Lawful here means what is not prohibited, which includes wajib, obligatory deeds, mustahab, the recommended deeds, and mubah, the permissible or allowed. Wallahu alam. Now, the true believer, my dear brothers and sisters, he takes lawful as what Allah has made lawful, and he takes prohibited as what Allah has prohibited. And this is from the true attributes of a true believer. As Allah says,
Ya ayyuhallazina amanu la tuharrimu tayyibati ma ahalla Allahu lakum.
O believers, make not unlawful the good and pure things which Allah has made lawful to you, and transgress not. Verily, Allah does not like the transgressors. My dear brothers and sisters, both forbidding what Allah has allowed and allowing what Allah has forbidden are great sins and go against the steps that lead one to paradise, as implied in this hadith. Treating as permissible what Allah allows and treating as prohibited what Allah has forbidden is considered the correct way, as Allah says, those to whom we have given the book, recite it as it should be recited. They are the ones that believe in it. As for those who disbelieve in it, they are the losers. Now, the part of the verse here, recite it as it should be recited, has been interpreted by Ibn Mas'ud, Ibn Abbas, and others, radiallahu anhum, to mean that they permit what it permits, forbid what it forbids, and do not distort its meaning from their proper implications. So to summarize this point, my dear brothers and sisters, a Muslim must believe in the permissibility of whatever Allah has allowed. He must also believe in the prohibition of what Allah has forbidden. These are essential aspects of the religion of Islam. If a person knowingly does not meet these conditions, he falls outside the fold of Islam. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden an act, and a person believes it is permissible or should be considered permissible, he has become an unbeliever, even if he does not perform that act. On the other hand, if a person recognizes that the act is forbidden, but he performs it anyway, he is a sinner. But in general, he does not fall outside the fold of Islam because he is not negating a basic principle of the faith. Wallahu a'lam. Now, the next part of the hadith.
وَلَمْ أَزِدْ عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ شَيْئًا.
And I do not add anything to that. Now, some of the ulama have said that this man said this, meaning the phrase, and I do not add anything to that, is because he was new to Islam. And therefore, he did not have the love and desire yet to perform the additional voluntary acts. Therefore, the Prophet ﷺ answered him in such a way that he would know that he should perform the obligatory acts. After he becomes accustomed to Islam and loves it, He would then perform the voluntary deeds on his own. However, some have said that this is not a very strong view. Wallahu a'lam. A second explanation is that it implies that the man was not going to perform voluntary acts of prayer or fasting. Scholars said that the reason was that the man was too busy in performing acts like fighting in the path of Allah and other praiseworthy deeds. As we mentioned earlier on, it was established that the questioner was one who actually participated in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we mentioned, he even died as a shaheed. Wallahu a'lam. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, this hadith clearly implies that performing voluntary or recommended deeds is not necessary for entering paradise. Because by definition, such deeds are not obligatory, and therefore a person is not sinful if he does not perform them. A person does not have to perform the voluntary or recommended deeds. As long as he is performing the obligatory deeds and remaining away from the forbidden acts, he is fulfilling the necessary requirements of his religion. However, if a person truly wishes to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and earn Allah's pleasure, he will not neglect the voluntary and recommended deeds, because he knows that there is a great reward for performing them. And also, more importantly, is that they complete the performance and reward of the obligatory deeds. Because most people will have some sort of shortcomings in their obligatory deeds. The voluntary deeds will make up any deficiencies in the obligatory deeds. Therefore, in general, it is discouraged for one not to do the voluntary deeds unless the quality of one's obligatory deeds is excellent. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, when a person continually avoids the recommended deeds in a general sense, it demonstrates his lack of concern for the religion. He will be losing a great deal of reward and a great opportunity to get even closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this reason, some scholars would not accept the testimony of a person who is not known to perform the sunnah or recommended acts. Although they are not doing something considered strictly forbidden, they are demonstrating a lack of religious commitment. Wallahu a'lam. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, if we look at the companions radiallahu anhum, we will see that they were very anxious, very keen to get as close as possible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to please Him in every way. In general, they used to perform all the acts they witnessed their example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, performing. They really did not distinguish between the obligatory and voluntary acts. They would perform all of them as part of the overall behavior of the Muslims. And it was only among the later generations that the jurists concentrated on distinguishing what is obligatory from what was voluntary. And some of the ulama said that later on it was necessary to differentiate between the obligatory and recommended because people were not performing all the acts as the early generations did. Therefore, the general people had to know what acts they could not neglect and what acts they could neglect without sin. Wallahu a'lam. Now, the next part of the hadith.
أَأَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ نَعَمْ.
Would I enter paradise? He, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, answered yes. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he said that this hadith indicates that if a person performs the obligatory deeds and remains away from the forbidden ones, he will enter paradise. He states that there are numerous hadith that indicate this. Indeed, they are mutawatir. And he mentioned, rahimahullah, a few narrations to show this. Firstly, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, a Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, point me to deeds that if I were to perform them, I would enter paradise. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, worship Allah and do not associate anything with Him. Establish the obligatory prayer, give the zakah and fast Ramadan. The man said, by the one in whose hand is my soul, I will not add anything to this. When he turned away, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if it pleases someone to see a person from paradise, he should look at that man. And this hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. Now al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he recorded a similar hadith with another Bedouin who also said that he would do what is required and not add anything to it. And the Prophet ﷺ said at the end, دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ إِنْ صَدَقْ. He will enter paradise if he is truthful to his word. Now Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he points out that although those deeds lead one to enter paradise, at the same time, one may be performing deeds that are preventive factors and will keep one from entering paradise. He then quoted the following hadith that a man came to the Prophet and said, O Messenger of Allah, I bore witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and that you are the Messenger of Allah. I prayed the 5 daily prayers, I paid the zakat on my wealth, and I fasted the month of Ramadan. Prophet ﷺ then said, the one who dies upon those acts shall be with the prophets, sincere and martyrs like this on the day of resurrection. And he raised his fingers together as long as he did not disobey his parents. Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, then points out that all of the hadith of this nature, meaning whoever does such and such will enter paradise, are to be understood in this nature. In other words, the person who does those acts will enter paradise as long as he does not perform some acts that prevent his entrance into paradise. All of the necessary conditions must be met for entrance into paradise, and all of the preventive factors must be removed. He points out, rahimahullah, that there are many hadith that indicate that particular acts may keep one from entering paradise. For example, he mentioned the following hadith: لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. The one who has even the slightest amount of arrogance in his heart will not enter paradise. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, as we mentioned previously regarding the conditions of the Shahada, that even the Shahada has certain conditions that must be met. So if a person makes the testimony of faith but then follows it up with deeds that reduce its effect, he may not enter paradise without first being punished in the hellfire. Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he once said, "The statement that there is none worthy of worship except Allah has conditions to it. Therefore, beware of slandering innocent believing women." Now, another point regarding this part of the hadith is once again we see the eagerness of the companions to know the path to enter Jannah. And if one was to look into the sunnah, was to read the hadith, he would see that many times the companions would come to the Prophet ﷺ and ask him to show them the deeds or the actions that will lead them to paradise. They realized, my dear brothers and sisters, that that was the most important thing for them, to know the path to get to Jannah. Therefore, we as well, when we seek knowledge, when we ask questions, we must do so seeking the path of Jannah. As the companions, radiallahu anhum, when they received the answers from the Prophet ﷺ regarding their questions, what would they do? Many of them swore that they would perform exactly what the Prophet ﷺ has told them. Then the Prophet ﷺ would then say that they will be in paradise if they are truthful to those conditions or acts. So my dear brothers and sisters, we should always have this question in our mind: how do I get to paradise? And then seek the answer to it from the Quran and Sunnah. And we see the answers clearly that the Prophet ﷺ has given us to this question. So therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, we should set ourselves on the path to follow the deeds that will lead us to paradise. We should concentrate on them and perfect them. So inshallah, on the day of judgment, we'll be from amongst the winners and successful ones, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So to conclude, my dear brothers and sisters, a Muslim should always be keen and eager to seek that which is best for him. And that which is best for him is to attain the pleasure of Allah, to attain entrance into paradise. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, we learn from this hadith that prayer and fasting Ramadan are from the two most important actions of this religion. We also learn that doing what is permissible and avoiding what is forbidden is also an essential aspect of the religion of Islam. And finally, my dear brothers and sisters, if a person truly fulfills what this hadith mentions, which is to establish their prayer, fast Ramadan and all the other pillars of Islam, take what Allah has made halal as halal, therefore performing it, and also take what Allah has prohibited, what He has made haram as haram, therefore keeping away from it, he will enter paradise by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to allow us to enter paradise. We ask Allah for al-firdaus. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.